Hey everybody, welcome back to episode number 8 of the Paid Search Podcast. My name is Jason Rothman. I'm here with my partner and co-host, Chris Schaefer. He is known as the Kanye West of nothing, because he's nothing like Kanye West, and that's why I really enjoy having him as a co-host. So
I'm a humble guy.
A humble guy who's in tune with reality. And our reality, Chris, is that we live inside AdWords every week. And then we get together on this show and we talk about what we learn and questions we have, and we try to get better and better and better, because if you're not continually learning, you're on your way out of business. So we're trying to learn and get better and trying to help people learn and get better at AdWords. Last week we teased a special episode, and I think we've got one today, Chris.
Yeah.
It was a great idea you came up with, and today we're going to talk about AdWords issues that both of us have, and three things for each of us that keep us up at night. And we'll kind of break it down and see what's keeping us up at night. And the reason we want to do this is because these are things that maybe we haven't even necessarily solved or found the answers to, but we know that you're going to run into them too. And so we want to maybe brainstorm, see if we can come up with answers, or if one of us has them, or what we've done to overcome it. And then also let you know when it is an issue and it's still keeping us up at night. And so then when you run into it, you don't feel like you're the first person ever to experience. So Chris, how's it going? What's the first thing keeping you up at night?
Yeah, well, you know, I consider AdWords to be very important. So thus my clients are important, because if I don't have clients, if I don't have, you know, something to do, I'm not going to be making any money. So the number one thing that's important to my clients is conversion tracking. That is, you know, obviously what it's all about. You know, you don't just generate clicks. So conversion tracking is really important. And honestly, Jason, sometimes there are times when I am running an account and I'm excited. I build it out. You know, it's a brand new client. Maybe they had an old account. Maybe they didn't. But I'm ready to make a difference. I'm going to do a good job. I'm going to make sure the right keywords, ads. I launch it. The first week goes by. I don't get any conversions, even though I sent them the tracking code and I know it's on the website. You know, okay, first week, that's fine. It's a, you know, it's a patient client. Next week goes by. Next week goes by. Still no conversions. A couple months go by, no conversions, right? It's getting a little difficult to prove that I'm worth my salt at this point, all right? What keeps me up, what really stresses me out, is a campaign that continues to yield zero conversions, whether it is due to poor keywords, bad targeting, a ornery web developer that continues to not put the code in the right place, or I just can't get confirmation that it's been done. Maybe there's some complicated web stuff in the background and I just can't look at a thank you page to confirm that it's on there. It's pretty terrifying, because to convince a client that you're doing a good job just by showing them click-through rates and search queries and bounce rates and stuff like that, it's a tough sell. You can't really prove anything.
Right. Well, Chris, I'm here for you. I've on this one, I've got some answers. So I run into this too. The first thing and if you're a business owner out there, you're possibly the kind of person that Chris is interacting with, where you're just having trouble communicating between yourself, the AdWords manager, the business owner who's busy running their business, and the web developer who sometimes have personality issues. So the first thing is sometimes it's just not in the cards. Sometimes websites don't even, there's no way to track conversions. Maybe you could hypothetically set up AdWords call tracking, but sometimes that's really hard to do. Sometimes they don't have a lead form. And so what I do is I do live with the fact that I tell clients, I'm getting you quality traffic and I focus them on search queries. So that would be my first response, is sometimes it's not in the cards. If a client really wanted conversion tracking after your 10th email about it, they would have gotten it done. So if that's not going to happen, focus them on the search queries and show them that, look, this is people searching for exactly what you offer. We're getting them to your website. It doesn't get any better than this in the marketing world. So sometimes it's not in the cards, and it's not on you. It's on the client or the web developer. Second thing is there's something called the Google Tag Assistant in Chrome, which is an add-on in Chrome, and it will tell you whether the analytics code is set up correctly on the website, whether the conversion tracking code is set up correctly on the thank you page, and all that kind of stuff. So I like to use that to just, once a client says, hey, or a web developer usually says, hey, I added the code, I'm able to look at that Google Tag Assistant without having to scan all the HTML code or whatever, and I'm able to say, no, it's not on the page. It needs to be on this page or whatever. So that helps. Third thing I think would be a big help, and this would also make goal tracking easy for any clients out there who don't want to contact their web developer again, and that's to use Google Analytics to set up goal tracking. Totally bypass the conversion code tracking in AdWords. Link your analytics account to your AdWords account, and then set up a goal where if someone fills out the lead form, if anyone sees that thank you page, we call it a goal, and then you import that goal into AdWords to report as a conversion. That way, instead of getting a developer to copy and paste code that you sent them, and there's a bunch of emails back and forth, you just say, client, just like you gave me access to the AdWords account, give me access to the analytics account one time, and I'll take it from there. The way this doesn't work is when they don't take people to a new thank you page, and it gets kind of tricky. But as long as they're taking people to a thank you page after the conversion form or the lead form, analytics access I found to be very easy to set up. And for any business owners out there, if you have access to both your AdWords and your analytics, you can set up goal tracking yourself and then import it into AdWords. And so that's what I found to be easiest, Chris. So does that make sense?
Yeah. Those are all good points. And I think there's also another level to this, is that sometimes, even though you have conversion tracking in place, sometimes you just don't get leads. Sometimes people just don't purchase. What keeps me up is knowing that even though I'm driving good quality traffic, the person either has a poor product, a service that's not really unique or well represented on their website.
Or a bad website.
Or a bad website. I mean, there's things that sometimes even a very good AdWords campaign can't fix. And there are times when you have to just say, you know, I just don't think it's for you. I had a guy who hired me to send traffic to his food critic blog. And I tell you, it was one of the worst food critic type of things I've read, right? Because he didn't even really assign any kind of numeric good or bad. It was just a huge block of one page of text. And sometimes you just really have to think, you know, is this represented well? Are people going to respond to this? Is this, you know, really what someone would find value in when they're going to the website? So
yeah, that's something I've dealt with too. I always tell people, and I write about this, Google AdWords is hands down the best form of marketing on the planet, and I'll defend it to the end. And I truly believe that, but it's not a silver bullet. It can make a good business great, but it can't make a bad business good. If you don't have something that the market wants, or you're not offering it at a price that the market's willing to pay, there's just nothing that AdWords can do. So what I've tried to do is steer. So if you're an AdWords manager out there and you work in an agency or something like that, I've tried to just avoid those kind of startups and new businesses that aren't proven. Or when I get a gut feeling saying this is a horrible website, I know for a fact, even though it's a moving business and guaranteed if it had a good website, I could get calls to it from AdWords, because AdWords works great for movers. Their website's horrible. And so I've just, like you're saying, it keeps you up at night. It's not a good feeling. So I just steer clear of it right now. And there's just no good way to deal with it, because if you don't have a good offering or a decent website, it's not going to work out.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's sometimes that's one of the most challenging things, is that people are expecting something of you and you can deliver it, but they don't get the end result based on other factors. So that's something that keeps me up at night too. And I just try to avoid it these days. So the first thing that my topic is playing on the conversion issue, Chris, is there's something on the conversions page where every time you set up a conversion, you can tell Google to report all conversions for that conversion or just one. And so what they're saying is, do you want to report every time that someone fills out a lead form and sees the thank you page, or do you want to just report unique people? And so back to my classic example, a moving company. If you're a moving company out there and someone fills out your form twice, but it's the same person, what good does that do for you to call that two conversions when it's the same person? It's faulty data, and it helps you make bad decisions, and it's basically making things look better than they are. So I always, unless you're doing e-commerce, I always, for lead gen, put every conversion that I track, phone calls and lead forms, to unique, track unique conversions and count each person only once, no matter how many times they take that lead generation conversion action. And so what keeps me up at night, Chris, is that I get a new client, I take over their account. In the past, the person managing the account had conversions set to all and track every conversion and not just uniques. And so I'm an honest guy, so I go in there and I put the conversion tracking to unique. And what happens is that the data will be more accurate. It'll help me do a better job for the client. But there's a chance reported conversions go down. Emphasis on the word reported, because now we're going from all conversions to just unique people who converted, which is more beneficial to the client. But what keeps me up at night is making sure I explain to them that to them in detail and have them understand that now we're tracking unique conversions and that's better for them. So if reported conversions go down, it's okay because now we're tracking unique. So Chris, do you run into that?
Yeah. I mean, it's part of the dilemma with being an honest AdWords manager. And I think there are instances when tracking every conversion is valuable. For instance, if you're an e-commerce store,
right,
something like that, every time someone purchases, even if it's the same person, same IP or whatever, same instance, it's still another purchase. So great. That's exactly what you want to do. But you said for lead generation. Lead generation? Absolutely not. One lead is one lead only, whether they fill out two conversion forms or not. So absolutely. Absolutely. And that's, and to go, you know, a little on your, you know, honest, you know, I mean, you're an honest guy. And I think we, that's really what differentiates Jason and I from a lot of the crowd is that, you know, we specialize in one thing and we do one thing really well. And when we get a client, we want to provide them exactly what AdWords can do best. And that's provide quality traffic. And in order to do that, sometimes we have to actually make the numbers worse. Okay. Let me qualify what that means. So this is the second thing that keeps me up. Whenever I get a campaign that has a bunch of keywords in a bunch of different campaigns, and it's not well structured, there will often be a smattering of brand keywords that show up throughout all the campaigns. So these brand keywords, these are often useful. It's often useful to know when people are searching and to have some control. Yeah,
50 exact searches a month for Rothman PPC in the United States right now. A couple months ago it was 40. We're up to 50. So yeah, people, you do.
Yes.
Not that I'm counting.
Is growing.
Not that I'm counting. But yeah, Chris, it's good for competitive.
Jason, a marketer at heart. Yeah. Thank you, Jason, for keeping us.
Not that I'm counting, but your
global presence. Right, yes.
Not that I'm counting, but yeah, so it's good for businesses.
Yeah.
Including us, to know how many times people are searching for it.
Yeah. So the problem is, if you are not aware of which brand terms are being used and how they are scattered throughout all the different campaigns, you can artificially inflate your numbers. And as an AdWords manager, if I were to get a campaign that had brand terms scattered throughout, the first thing I do is I start isolating these terms and put them into one campaign. Right, because I don't want a campaign to have a bunch of leads that are basically being generated from 90% of these leads are coming from brand returning customers.
Right. And why don't you break down what you mean by inflated data due to branding being spread throughout? What does that look like to a business owner?
So if you have brand terms, it's going to improve your click-through rate. It's going to drop your cost per click. It's going to those things mean that your search impression share is going to be better. And most especially, your conversion rate, your conversions, your cost per conversion is going to be much, much better. All the most important metrics that's going to make a campaign look like it is absolutely killer are going to be better. When you cut out brand, those metrics will be worse.
Yeah. And so, Chris, you've brought this up on multiple episodes now where you're in a scenario where someone's, without even knowing it, the client that you take over their account was advertising on their brand keywords, maybe explicitly by targeting those keywords or just through showing up on the search terms report. And then you have to go in there and clean up the mess, basically, and separate brand into its own campaign. Mm-hmm. I feel like something happened.
It happens.
Is there one really bad example where something happened and the client didn't understand it? Because I feel like this.
Yes. It's a sore spot. Happened. Yes, you're reading me right, Jason. Yeah. Yes, it's a sore spot. I've been fired before.
Wow.
I've been called a bad manager. You know, people say, you know, you're supposed to be an expert, but yet our campaign numbers are worse, and you know somebody just didn't grasp it, and I'm a little bit more sensitive to it. I specifically search this out whenever I get a new campaign, and now it's not about a different strategy. I don't keep them in now, or, you know, or I haven't changed my mind. The difference is setting expectations.
Yeah.
Make sure that when you do this, you communicate fully that you're about to screw up their numbers. Right. It's going to make a very big difference. Your amazing 13-15% click-through rate is going to go to trash. You're going to start getting normal 1%, 2% click-through rates. You know, suddenly everything's going to be completely different. Your super low cost per click is going to go way up. The number of clicks you get per month is going to go down because you're paying more. So it is something pretty close to me because I've had quite a bit of personal experience. And the good news is when you do this, if you are truly trying to improve and help your customer or your employer or whoever you're doing this for, it's a good thing, and they should appreciate your earnesty in trying to complete this whole task. Even though the numbers get worse, it's an honest and proper thing to do to try and generate the right kind of traffic.
Yeah, the analogy that keeps coming, or metaphor that keeps coming back to me, and I haven't really experienced this metaphor before but or thought of it, but now I'm thinking of it, it's almost similar to medicine. There's such a knowledge gap between us as, say, the doctors in this scenario and the business owners as the patients. There's such a knowledge gap between what we know about AdWords and what they know that's why we're employed and we get hired, is because they need us to bridge that knowledge gap. But at the same time, a lot can be lost in translation. And so one of our biggest jobs is conveying the information and expectations properly to clients. And the branding is a great example of that. What I'm thinking of is, say you're a doctor and someone, say, is having seizures. And so you prescribe them a medicine and you fix the seizures, but now they have diarrhea. And they're mad at you because they have diarrhea, you know? So you're getting them more conversions every month. But the cost per conversion went up 10% and they're mad about it. You see what I'm saying?
Well, I just want to know, what are the conversions, the diarrhea? Is that, because I think I lost it there.
Lack of conversions is the seizures. Higher cost per conversion is the diarrhea. Chris, you just got to pay attention. It's just not that hard.
I just lost it there for a second.
It's just not that hard. People are shaking their heads at home. They're saying, obviously, the diarrhea
is just, you're
is
just
the
so far above. We just couldn't follow it.
Yeah.
All right.
But you know what I'm saying? So, so that, you know, I did have something that keeps me up at night, but I've got another thing now that you just brought up. And I think plenty of business owners would struggle with this out there as well. And I've kind of got my own answer for it. But one thing that keeps me up at night is, do I advertise on competitor names and also brand names? Should I do it? Or should we just spend all of the budget on the product or service that the client sells? So my own answer to that is that, in my experience, most of the time, showing up on competitors' names does not seem to work. People are looking for the competitor explicitly. Sometimes they'll call you and say, oh, you're not the competitor, but why don't you give me a quote anyway, and I might use you. But most of the time, it seems like the phone calls are short, the conversions are down. But every now and then, it does work well. So my own answer to should we advertise on competitors is maybe let's try it, or let's not target them explicitly, but let's see how it performs in the search details report and see if we're getting conversions from it. As far as branding goes, Chris, that one's a little harder for me because I know the cost per conversion is going to be good. But sometimes clients will ask you, well, I'm showing up number one anyway, so why advertise? And then my answer is, well, other people are showing up above you with their own ads, even though you're showing up number one organically. So how do you approach, well, what's your default to advertising on competitor names and brand names?
I fight competitor ads as much as I possibly can. I never want to show up. If I can convince the client that it's not a good idea, every time I try and avoid it. Basically, my argument is, you are a unique business. You don't do what your competitors do. If you are basically a carbon copy of your competitors, you're soon to be out of business yourself, because why offer a different service? Why not just try and buy them up and expand that exact same thing? So if you're unique, why would you want to do exactly what they're doing? And point two, if you are unique, how do you know what they're doing is going to work for you? So using keyword spy and duplicating what other people are doing, or just flat out advertising on a certain competitor name, who says that's a good idea? So in the end, it's not really going to be worth the investment. That's typically what I go for.
Right now, I have seen it work sometimes, but I definitely see it don't work way more often. So I like clear-cut answers, and I kind of like the answer of, okay, if 90 or 80% of the time it's not going to work, let's just not mess with it.
Yeah, and they're expensive.
Right.
Typically, it's twice the cost.
The reason why
you're going to get low quality scores.
Yeah, the reason why is because Google knows you're not giving people what they're looking for.
Yeah.
They're looking for the other person and not you. So so you don't advertise on competitors. And then branding, do you always run a brand campaign?
Only if there's competitors advertising on that as well.
That makes sense. That's an honest answer.
If they have a presence and other people are trying to show up on top of their organic listings, then yeah, okay. We'll spend a little bit on it. But if nobody else is doing it, then
and they're showing up number one organically.
And they have no issues with, competitors doing it to them, then let's not do it.
Yep, so that's the one example I do advertise on brand when we are already showing up number one organically is when there's a new landing page. Example, I'm working with a doctor, a knee surgeon in the Phoenix area, and he has his regular website, but then he's just created a landing page with phone call tracking and lead form tracking for one specific service. And so if someone searches his name, instead of taking them to his website that doesn't even mention this service, we like taking them to that brand page, that landing page. And the good news is brand usually is your cheapest cost per click on search.
Good example, yeah.
Maybe you just cleared it up for me. Stop messing around with competitors. And
if you can talk them out of it, try. That's usually my standard. If I can avoid even doing it, then I do it. So for the last thing for me, I'm going to talk quickly about quality score. Okay. Surprisingly, Jason and I haven't talked a lot about quality score. And the fact is because it's such an elusive, complicated monster. And it's only half of the factor that rates your ad rank. So, right, quick review, bid times quality score equals ad rank, right? And we don't really talk about it a lot because it's it's pretty mysterious and it's difficult to grasp. And I know, Jason, you have a lot of issues with it that, you know, are very confusing at times. And I want to say something to the point. What keeps me up sometimes, and it's upsetting, because Google puts a warning label right next to keywords that have low quality scores. You know, the low quality score ranking is something that Google really stresses. There's, you know, the whole error message showing right next on the status of that keyword. The fact is, I can show you, you know, if you were sitting here in the office with me, anybody who's listening, if you're sitting here in the office, I could show you accounts where the quality scores of 2, 3, even 1 generate leads and generate tons of qualified traffic. But for some reason, even with a very well-developed website, I still have very poor quality scores. But month after month after month, I get clients, you know, 6%, 7%, 8% conversion rates, pushing my CPCs up pretty high. But despite what AdWords says, despite what AdWords says about the certain quality score of a keyword, I push through it and I continue to generate qualified leads for a number of clients. And sometimes that whole black box thing, you try and figure it out. You say, I need to, you know, sometimes you just don't know what's happening behind the scenes, why there might be a certain issue with the history of this domain. I mean, there could be all kinds of things that the person had done in the past or you know, things you can't control. In the end, quality score is only a number, and it only makes as much difference as it does in the value of the traffic being coming to your site. If you can generate qualified traffic for a decent CPC, and in the end, it's an effective lead, you know, you're not paying too much for that one lead, then who cares about quality score?
Right, and so I can't dunk a basketball, even though I'm over 6 foot, and it's just so depressing.
I love your metaphors.
Right, but you know what I don't worry about, Chris? I don't worry about dunking a basketball, because I can't do it, and it's not going to happen. So if I can't get a quality score from a 7 or an 8 to a 10, I'm not going to worry about it. If I've tried it for 6 months, and I know for a fact I'm doing everything in my power to bump up that quality score, I'm not going to worry about it if it doesn't happen, because it's out of our control to a certain extent. Back to first principles, and we always go back to this, what is the goal of your AdWords campaign? If it's a search campaign and if you're doing conversion tracking, your goal should be the most conversions possible for a given budget. So if you get your best cost per conversion and the most conversions from a keyword that has a 3 quality score out of 10, don't let the 3 keep you up at night, because it's getting you conversions, which is your first goal. So, Chris, I take the same mindset. As a new advertiser, that's probably something everyone's going to run into if they're even looking at quality score, is why aren't my quality scores not higher for certain keywords? And the answer is there's no answer. You can do everything you're supposed to do, make a good website, advertise on relevant keywords, make relevant ads. But beyond that, everything is just kind of out of your control, because like Chris was saying, there are so many factors that go into it, and factors we don't even know about, and the weight of those factors probably changes every week. So just make sure you're showing up on relevant search terms, focus on your cost per conversion, and don't let it bother you, because for people who have been doing this for years, Chris and I, we still see low quality scores in our campaign sometimes, and sometimes it just doesn't make sense. So that's something you'll probably run into, but focus on your first goal, which is getting the most conversions possible for the budget. So, Chris, I had one more, but this is not the Confessions album by Usher. I'm keeping some things close to the vest, and this confessional is over. Okay. So I'm getting away with only giving 2 things that keep me up at night. So, Chris, I think this was a really good episode. It's things that you don't hear people talk about in their little articles telling you how great they are at AdWords. And it was different.
We are humans. Yeah. Yeah. You know, we're humans. We deal with issues. And, feels good to get some of those off my chest. And, you know, Jason and I are certainly experts in AdWords. But
humble experts.
Humble yep. experts in AdWords, but we are still years and years away from having it all figured out. But I think another 2 for me, I think I'll be good.
Another 2 years?
Another two, yeah.
Aren't you set to retire at 65? So, 65. All right, anyway, so lots of stuff coming out, Chris. There's a big Google meeting next week, I think.
Yes, on the 23rd or 24th. Yeah. Live stream.
I'm sweating it. I'm hoping they don't rock the boat too much, but I know they're going to do good things.
Yeah, new interface coming out, yeah.
It's exciting. So we'll have plenty to talk about. Today we talked about the stuff that keeps us up at night. I think on an upcoming episode, we're going to talk about some of what we call the hidden gems that we love about AdWords and that we think are underutilized. We're also getting a lot of feedback from you guys, and the listener count is going up, so we're really shocked. We're really grateful for that. And it is exciting. And Chris, you've been getting questions.
Yeah,
on Facebook, yeah. And
getting stuff on Facebook. Nobody replying on Twitter yet. My preferred method of social interaction on Twitter. So be sure and hit us up on Twitter. If I knew what our Twitter was, boy, that would be useful right now.
Well, the only thing people need to keep in mind is paidsearchpodcast.com. Yeah, if you go to the contact page, you can see all of our social media links. Speaking of that, we do an after the show YouTube show. Where we are going to start the Q&As today, and we're going to answer some questions we got this week. So go to YouTube, search Paid Search Podcast, and check out those episodes. We will be back next Monday with episode number 9, and we thank you very much for listening. And all we ask is that you share the show and tell a friend. So thanks for listening, everyone, and send us your questions at paidsearchpodcast.com.